to raise her.
Pray together, shall we?
Let's praise the Lord, but the Lord of God. And take time, let's just pray, stop it. Come back to easy, but sure.
Lord, you will be forever ours. You have promised never to leave us and to forsake us. Lord, you have set us free. You have committed yourself to us. And you will never leave us nor forsake us. It is amazing grace. We thank you that we can sing about this amazing grace this morning. Thank you for the amazing grace. And Lord, that amazing grace is what you have entrusted to us to make known to people who do not yet know that there's one who loves them with an unconditional, never-ending love. Lord, you have called us to tell others that they are loved by the King and that there's a way that they too can enjoy intimacy with you. You have called us to do that. We have got good news for this community. We've got good news for the world. We thank you for Barry, Lord, making known this good news through making sure that your word is printed in every language of this world so that people can read about that love for themselves. Thank you for him. Thank you, Lord, for this church. Thank you for every church in this area who has got this one message. There's one who loves this community and who wants intimacy with them. Help us, Father, to make that message known. Lord, we do pray for those this morning who are not well. Lord, we have those names on our bulletin week by week. Lord, for us they are names. To you they are special. For them, Lord, the things for which we pray, they live those things every day. Lord, the pain and the discomfort. And Lord, we as their family want them to know that we are committed to praying for them. Lord, we commend them to you. We pray, Lord, for the families of those who have lost folk in that Malaysia crash. Lord, the uncertainty, the hope which they long to have. Lord Jesus, be their portion. Pray, Lord Jesus, that you would have your people in their area. People who are willing to make your love known to them. Oh God, you need each one of us to be your instruments. And Lord, you've got people near those in Malaysia, families who need you. Use your people near them to make yourself known. Lord Jesus, we pray for our country. Lord, we all turn on the news and Lord, we know that often it is not great news. Lord, we have the elections coming up, and Lord, it is our calling in life. You have said, pray for those in authority over you. And this morning, Father, we want to pray for those in authority over us. Pray, Lord, that they would do what is right, not what is expedient. Pray, Lord, that you would address the violence and the corruption in this country. Pray, Lord, that we would be able to live godly and peaceable lives and more godliness and holiness. Lord Jesus, we pray for our country. Pray, Lord, that your people would be salt and light in this country, giving hope to the hopeless. Now, Lord, as we turn to your word, we ask that you would speak to us. Lord, that we would hear again the thus says the Lord, as we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Here we have it in, I don't know whether it's blue or greenish or something in black, but that is what I'm preaching on. The Sunday school.
Holiday program.
Pardon?
Holiday program.
Holiday program. The holiday program you need now. No, it's not the big people. I want to preach.
You can, you can.
All Right. You have it in black and blue that this is our text this morning, and tonight come and hear about Raising the Dead, a long-term project. We are studying the book of James in our Bible studies, as you know, and I should have been preaching on this when I last preached, but it was a baptismal service, and so I changed. I felt that I needed to preach on something different that morning, and so now coming back, it's a bit out of sequence. I know Mark preached in James 4 last week, but we're coming back to finish off James 3. Two kinds of wisdom, we see the heading. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life. Deeds done in humility that come from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom, in inverted commas, does not come down from heaven, but is earthly and spiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder in every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. I want to tell you a story. You might recognize the story, although it is set in a slightly different context. Danny's story is really quite a tragic one. His parents were tragically killed. He was taken in by a family, a wealthy family, a family who could offer Danny everything that he wanted. And they did it with love, certainly with as much love as they were capable of. And yes, they did want the best for him. But this particular family were not really used to taking other people's opinions. And so they more or less let Danny know what he would be doing in life. It was done with the best intention. But nevertheless, they knew better, and they told Danny. And they started grooming him success, which they believed would be inevitable in his life. And the first thing they did was to change his name, Danny, which was short for Daniel. For them it wasn't appropriate, not with the plans they had for him. And so they thought about it, and they came up with the name Hunter. That was a better name. And so the name that Danny's parents had given him, the name they were hoping that he would kind of emulate as he became like his biblical counterpart, the name Daniel, that name was thrown out. And he became known as Hunter. Of course, he had no choice in what he was going to study at university. You see, in their thinking, Hunter was going to be a big deal in the United Nations. Because this family, in fact, had the influence to get Daniel a job in the United Nations, and they wanted him to kind of understand people. And so, inter alia, he was going to study comparative religion. And he was going to study the works of Charles Darwin. They wanted him to understand those things because those were the people amongst whom he would be working, with whom he would be meeting. And Daniel, now Hunter, accepted it. Indeed, he did better than his classmates in studying these things that he didn't really enjoy studying. Now, the family had a tradition, one they believed would bring luck, a charm from ancient Egypt. All the family members wore it because it brought them luck. This charm was in honor of the god of Egypt that this little charm represented, and Daniel, whose Christian name he now accepted to be Hunter, who was willing to excel in studies that he didn't really agree with, Daniel balked at wearing this charm around his neck. And we wonder why. To others it seems so innocuous. But the reason was simple. Daniel was not willing to seem to be honoring another god. And for that, Daniel was willing to risk his future. And we wonder, how did Daniel know what to acquiesce to and what to go to war over? Of course, you may recognize the story from the Bible. And the question is, so how do you know what to acquiesce to and what to go to war over? And the answer is quite simple. The answer is wisdom. I don't know why this seems much taking over. I don't know why I'm not getting more. Now I'm speaking over. It's wisdom. It's wisdom. And that is what today's message is all about. It's about wisdom. In fact, as you read the book of Daniel, you'll see that wisdom, the book of James, you'll see that wisdom plays an important role in James' book. And it starts in chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask of God. That is the foundation. James writes a very practical letter. It's a letter about practical living. And in order for us to live a meaningful and a practical life, we need wisdom. What is this thing called wisdom? Well, looking at the Old Testament use of the word helps us. Then we see that wisdom starts with knowledge. And as Christians, we believe that the knowledge needed for wisdom includes, not exclusively, but it includes knowledge about God. And we learn about God mainly through the Bible. For example, we will read the stories in the Old Testament. And we'll see how the ancient people experienced God. And we learn about God from those stories. We read the prophecies of the ancient prophets, how they interpreted the plans of God and the writings of God to the people of their times. And as we read that, we learn more about God. We read the Psalms. These are the prayers and the songs of the Hebrew people. And we see how they found God real and relevant in daily life. And we learn even more about God. And we study the New Testament, and the things we saw illustrated in the Old Testament, we see now formulated in precept in the New Testament. And our knowledge of God grows. Wisdom starts with knowledge. Living a practical Christian life starts with knowledge of God. The ability to act wisely, as Daniel did, starts with knowledge. But knowledge by itself is not the same as wisdom. My daughter does scuba diving. I remember when she did her course in scuba diving, it started in the classroom, and she learned all she needed to know theoretically about scuba diving. And after the classwork, she may well have said, and probably did, I know, scuba diving. But knowledge that remains in knowledge is in fact useless knowledge. Knowledge is meant to be applied practically, and my daughter had to actually get into the water and learn to apply her knowledge. Likewise, we study the Bible, we gain the knowledge of God, we might say we know Him. But biblically, knowledge remains head knowledge and not true knowledge. Knowledge becomes true knowledge or useful knowledge when we apply it practically, when it reshapes our lives, when it impacts on the way we go about living our lives. Knowledge is only true knowledge when it starts to change us, when it changes our behavior, because when it changes our behavior, we are showing that the things we have purported to learn have now impacted on us. And that could, of course, take time. The other day I was talking to an electrical engineer. He used to do a lot of work for government departments. And in this particular project, the person, his link person with the government department, was one who was freshly out of university. Oh, he had a piece of paper which said he had the knowledge, but the knowledge had not yet changed him. The knowledge had not reshaped his life. It hadn't changed his behavior. He had not yet grasped in any practical way what he purported to know. At that point in time, as he was the link person between the government project and my friend, at that point in time, his knowledge was worthless. And if that young graduate had been humble, if he had been willing to learn over time the application of that knowledge from those who had gone before him, over time that knowledge would have become valuable. Over time he would have gained what we are talking about this morning, wisdom, as he learned to practically apply that knowledge. Wisdom, the ability to apply what we know to our everyday lives and challenges. Wisdom, the ability to apply what we know about God to our everyday challenges. Here's one of the Proverbs. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. That word acknowledge, it simply means to show that we have knowledge. That's what the word means, to show that we have knowledge. What is wisdom? Wisdom is living our lives so that in everything we do, we show that we have knowledge of God. In all our ways, acknowledge Him. Show in everything we do, we have knowledge about God. Wisdom. When our actions are the outworking of our knowledge of God, that's what the life of wisdom is all about. In everything we do, in all our interactions and our dealings, showing that we have a practical knowledge, what it means practically to have a knowledge about God. A life of wisdom, practically living out the implications of our knowledge of God all the time. Misquote James, if I may, to show what I mean. Here's a verse that I want to misquote. This is how the verse is written in James. In the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. That's how the verse is written. Now I want to take that word faith and I want to replace it with the little phrase knowledge of God. In the same way, knowledge of God by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. Wisdom is what we demonstrate when we practically apply our knowledge of God. Wisdom of God is what we need if we want to have wisdom. Christianity, if it's nothing else, it's practical. It makes a difference, the stuff we learn in church, the stuff we learn in our Bible studies. It's not simply to sit in our heads and for us to get intellectually fat. It's for us to take and to use and apply to our everyday life so that people will see. It will be visible to people that we have knowledge of God and that this knowledge of God makes a difference in the way we interact with one another. It's so important for us to understand this because I want us all to know that wisdom is available to all of us. Wisdom is not something that's available just to the chosen few. James makes it clear, if any of you lack wisdom, let them ask God for it. Wisdom comes in the context of a relationship with the Lord. Wisdom is not something, wisdom of God, how to live the Christian life, is not something which kind of exists in isolation. It happens and we get it in the context of intimacy with the Lord. Wisdom comes from a desire to please the Lord and to live out practically the things that we know about God. And so James asks the question, who is wise and understanding among you? We could ask the question in another way. We could put it this way. Do you want to be counted wise to build a reputation for wisdom? And the answer, well, who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life. We have an indication there that wisdom is really practical. Do you want to be counted wise to build a reputation for wisdom? Let them show it by their good life. Yes, how do you do it? You live well. Wisdom is something which is practical. It's about demonstrating that what we know about God makes a difference in our lives. Wisdom is something appealing, something attractive. Yes, what wisdom doesn't look like. Mean-spirited ambition isn't wisdom. Boasting that you are wise isn't wisdom. Twisting the truth to make yourself wise isn't wisdom. We all know at least one person like that, don't we? Who likes to come across as wise, who boasts about their wisdom. The person who wants to be the go-to person for counsel or for wisdom. And so they have these anecdotes about themselves, about how clever they have been in the past. They might drop names about people who have come to them for counsel. You know somebody like that. But But you know what? People who are listening to those people talk will never go to that person for wisdom. They will never go to that person for counsel. A person who needs to blow their own trumpet about the wisdom is probably, by definition, not a wise person. Certainly not in the biblical sense. True wisdom is something which the one who has it probably doesn't recognize it. Let me illustrate what I mean from an Old Testament example. In the book of Exodus, Moses has been up the mountain. He's been with God. He's been getting the Ten Commandments. He comes down the mountain and he finds that people are just scattering. They want to get out of his way as he comes down the mountain. Why? Because his face was radiant, having been in the presence of God. It was obvious from his face that he'd been with God. But the narrator of the story makes an interesting and significant comment. Moses did not know that his face was shining. Moses did not know that his face was shining. In the same way, a person who boasts about their wisdom probably isn't wise, not in the biblical sense. Such wisdom does not come from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. What is the reason for that? For where you have envy and selfish ambition, you know, people want to be wise, they want to boast about their wisdom. Where you have that, you'll find this order and every little practice. In other words, such wisdom that comes from a place of boasting and pride is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. And yet we have invitation. If any lack wisdom, let them ask of God. That wisdom comes from heaven. The wisdom which has its origin in God's own heart, and the person who is wise in that sense, others will notice. Because a wise person's life will be different. As we saw in verse 13, who is wise? Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life. See, it's the way they live their lives. It's their good life. It's their deeds that show that they are wise people. And James shows us what that person's life looks like. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure. Then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and insincere. We know a wise person because it's already evident in their lives. They already obviously have a relationship with God. They already are obviously spending time with God. Reading and studying the Bible is obviously already a priority with them. And it has already practically impacted on the way their lives. How do we know that? We can see it by the way they live their lives. Wisdom is the practical application of knowledge. Knowledge about God, which we have gained by spending time with God. Knowledge about God, which we have gained by reading and studying the Bible. Knowledge which we have gained by stepping out in faith for God and finding Him faithful. Because ultimately, we show, we believe that God says He is who He is when we step out in obedience and do the thing which we don't believe we can, but which God says we can. We find Him faithful by doing it. Wise people are those who will always feel a little bit inadequate when they are faced with a decision, when they are faced with a life choice. Wise people are those who, when they are faced with these challenges, will run to James. 1 verse 5, and they will fall on their knees and they'll say, Lord God, you have promised that if we lack wisdom, we can ask you and you will give it to us. Lord, I need wisdom in this thing. A wise person is the one who will do that. A wise person is not the one who arrogantly will say, I know what to do. The ones most aware of their dependence on God are the wise people. Because just as Moses did not know that his face was radiant, so these people do not know that they already have the wisdom. Wisdom, the kind that comes from above, it's about practical living, practically living out what we know. Wisdom is for all of us. Because each one of us is able to spend time with the Lord. Each one of us can talk to Him as we pray. Each one of us can learn about Him. And as we spend time reading and studying the Bible, we recognize our dependence on Him, so that when we are faced with a challenge, we have already kind of programmed ourselves, filled ourselves with God and His wisdom. And we go to Him and we say, Lord, now I need help. Daniel already had a relationship with God. Daniel was already well-versed in Torah, the law. He was already regular in worship. So when it came to a challenging time, he knew what he could do. He knew he could rely on God for wisdom. It wasn't luck that Daniel knew when to acquiesce and when to go to war. It came in the context of his relationship with the Lord. And I want to say that the time to build the relationship with the Lord is now. When things are going relatively smoothly, so that when the need arises, we don't have to go and rush and do what we haven't done for a long time. Go and say, Lord, quickly, I need you. It comes in the context of intimacy, which already exists. And it's in our hands. We gain a knowledge of God through reading, through studying, through being obedient. Life is full of challenges. Every day we face challenges where we just need to know, how would a Christian do this? How would God want me to behave in this situation? And because we are living in this intimacy, the knowledge is there, the wisdom, the practical life is there because of our relationship with God. I want you to understand that each time we have our diversions, we are preparing for those daily challenges. Each time we have our devotions, we are growing our relationship with the Lord so that we can live practical Christian lives, lives characterized by our wisdom. And so what I'm saying this morning, friends, is go out and live wisely for Jesus. Because we can. We know how to. Shall we pray together?